Munchies, and welcome to Endercast, more fun than a game of buggers and astronauts. Today is Thursday, August 15, 2013, and you are listening to episode 27, The Ender Games. I am your host, Crystal from EnderBrigand.net, here with my co-host, Kelly from EnderNews.com. Say hey, Kelly.
Hey, guys.
All right, so today we are joined by a special guest. His name is Adam Spunberg of the Hunger Games Fireside Chat podcast. He's a good friend of mine, so everybody, Adam, say hi to everybody.
Hey, so happy to be here. I
interrupted you. I was just saying everyone should say hi to you.
That'd I know, that's what I was going to say. I don't know why I was going to try.
Well, I was just going to say, I've become a really big Ender's Game fan. I've been late to the party, but I love the book. I'm actually part of the way through Xenocide now, so... thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really pumped about this.
Well, thank you for coming on.
All right. So when I was trying to come up with an episode title, I thought, oh, why don't we just call it The Ender Games? Because, I mean, it's happened before in the past, but it's probably going to happen again, getting closer to the release, especially with the two movies coming out in the same month, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, when they try to explain Ender's Game, they call it, oh, it's Hunger Games in space. Which is kind of irritating to me. But at the same time, I mean, I wanted us to maybe touch a little bit upon why they're different and why they're similar. And
this is actually really curious to me because besides games in the title, there's not so many similarities, in my opinion. I mean, maybe with the movie, with the kids being a little older, but especially with the books, I have no idea what people are talking about. What about you?
I don't really understand when people say, oh, it's kids killing kids, because that's not the norm. That's not the point of Battle School. Battle School is not for them to kill each other. It's for them it's for them to practice killing a whole other alien race, right? So... And it's just that they're pitted against each other.
I think
practice.
People who say things like that haven't actually read Ender's Game and have the impression that the battle room is kids being like thrown in there and fighting to the death, which would be something else entirely. Adam, what do you think? Are there similarities that we're just missing, or?
No, I don't think it's similar at all. I think it's extremely different. I mean, I think it's, if you're just going to go on the fact that it has games or game in the title, you might as well just say the Olympic Games are also like the Hunger Games because it has games in it. You know, I think people need to get over that. When those kids are in the battle room, it's about coordinating and working together. Not for a second does any one of them think that they're killing someone else. All they're doing is freezing and disabling. And I have to ask, is this show spoiler-free or do you talk about anything?
We talk about it.
Yeah.
We try not to give away like the ending completely, but you know, people who listen to this are pretty aware of what's happening.
Yeah, okay. We have talked about it before. We usually just say like spoiler, and not that helps anybody. But
okay, great. So spoiler. If you have not read the book and don't want to know the end, just tune out for about 20 seconds. But I was just going to say, the end of Ender's Game, to me, it would be almost like as if Hunger Games were a video game. Or some kind of game that they thought was simulated and then found out, wait a second, I did actually just kill Kato. It wasn't fake. So
yeah,
that's the only parallel I could think of.
Well, I guess for me, the only similarity that I could think about is the way that it makes people talk about war. And I guess like ethical and moral implications of the story in general. Because Ender's Game makes you think a lot about that, right? It makes you think about whether it's right to put kids in the military at such a young age, whether it was right what they did to Ender for the sake of humanity. And then with Hunger Games, I mean, there's a giant message embedded in all of the books, right? Making a statement about standing up against oppression and whether like... the things that they do to the people in the games is right or wrong. I'm sure to the capital, it's all in the spirit of preserving their way of life. So I guess it's kind of like a more perverse debate about that kind of stuff. I don't know. That's all I could really think of, you know, on why they're similar.
Right.
Is that it gets teenagers talking about more important issues rather than, I mean, although I guess, I mean, Ender's Game is a lot more serious.
YA fiction, though, isn't it?
What?
I mean, most YA fiction presents a question or a moral standpoint or just gets kids. I mean, that's one of the great things, in my opinion, about young adult fiction is that these topics are brought up to, you know, an age group where, you know, it's really important to get them talking.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like a lot of YA books try to do that.
Right.
But it just kind of seems like, for some of them, it just kind of seems like bandwagoning, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Recently, especially with the whole dystopia thing, drives me crazy. But, you know, better than nothing, I guess. Like,
yeah.
That's how I always feel. Like, well, you know, they're still talking, so it's something.
So, Adam, I mean, to give everybody a little bit of perspective, Adam's podcast has been going for well over 110 episodes. So he's
so
talked
crazy.
He's talked a lot about The Hunger Games, and I just recently converted him or convinced him to read Ender's Game. So, Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about why you liked it and why you think a story such as Ender's, I don't know, appealed to you?
Sure, and I think I may have mentioned some of this in private in passing, but Crystal is not wrong to take credit. She's 100% the reason why I read Ender's Game. So she's at least been an ambassador to one person to read this, and I'm sure many, many more who've listened to the podcast and such. But if there's anyone out there who's listening who's on the fence, if I can inspire you, definitely go read it. But I'll say what I really enjoyed about it, I think more than anything, I found the story as I was reading it completely unpredictable in a great way. I honestly had no idea what was coming next. And there was this constant backdrop of what is this real mission and what are Anderson and Graf talking about. And then when it came to the actual battles themselves at the battle school, I thought it was remarkable that Orson Scott Card was so brilliant that he didn't just tell you, you know, and I feel like, and I'm not saying this as a criticism of other books, and not even of Hunger Games, even because Hunger Games does go pretty decently into, you know, what techniques Katniss used to survive and how people, you know, thwart each other at the cornucopia and whatnot. But I thought the descriptions and the strategy, you know, Ender, what you have to realize is Ender is the genius, yes, but Orson Scott Card is a genius too, because he's the one who's deciding what Ender does, and he's explaining this to you. And I would just kind of sit there with the book with my jaw almost open because I thought it was so brilliantly written, and from a sci-fi perspective, so profoundly conceived. And then when you get to the ending, you know, the big moment, I was really very affected, so much that I wanted to immediately go read Speaker for the Dead. And as I can say, because I know I've been long-winded here, as a last thing, I guess I thought maybe the most remarkable thing about it is the subtle way in which so many things are wrong with the way that the Earth of this time and the world operates, and yet how it's never really written with an agenda. It's so understated. Little things like Mazer Rackham, you know, forgoing his entire life basically because he needed to travel by starship and back to train Ender, or the fact that, you know, Ender basically the entire time it's, you know, your life is, you're giving up your life, but for what? For people, so that other people can live and be happy while yours is completely sacrificed to a government and a world that doesn't even appreciate you. It just wants to capitalize it. I thought that was amazing that he doesn't just come out and say that. It's just so very intelligently written between the lines.
Right.
So I love that.
Okay, so Adam, have you seen both trailers?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so what did you think of the tactic that they're taking with the trailers? Because, I mean, it's a hotly debated topic that the ending is spoiled in the trailers, and we've talked about it before in the past, how book fans are the only ones that know that there's a spoiler in the trailers, or that there's possibly a spoiler in the trailers, you know? I mean, what was your reaction in general to the trailers?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, that's a good point. People who haven't seen the or read the book won't even know that something's being spoiled for them. It'd be kind of like someone who drank spoiled milk, you know, his or her whole life. And then they said, well, my body adapted to it, and that's what I thought milk was, you know. So I think they're doing the right thing. The fact of the matter is, and it's funny since it's the Hunger Games episode, I think Catching Fire had a similar problem with this, about revealing that they go back to the games or not. And the truth is, if you're going to market this movie, I just think you have to play up certain angles.
Yeah,
and you'd have to go to such length to keep this spoiler a secret that you'd end up not really showcasing
and not attracting people, right?
Right. And they have to. And let's face it, if you've read the book, well, you already know. So, you know, it's not ruining it for us because we already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine.
I think a lot of people's complaints is not necessarily that they are showing that at the end of the trailer, but people are... they're going into this movie, at least people who've read the book, expecting it to be like the book in that the moviegoers don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I kind of feel like...
But it's so obviously not going to happen, in my opinion. That's not possible that the audience isn't aware, again, with the spoilers, that Ender isn't just playing a game. That's impossible, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And Crystal actually wrote a very good article, an editorial on that recently about, you know... which direction they're going to have to go in. And
I read that editorial, as a matter of fact. I thought it was, I read it at, I think it was like 2 a.m. in a hotel room in Newport, Rhode Island, but it was well worth it. So it was great.
I guess my argument was that if they don't reveal it, then it's just kind of going to make for a boring finale.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, you pointed this out, but it's, When I gave it some thought, and I was thinking, okay, you know, how does that make me feel? If I just think about it, people who are sitting watching this movie, watching Ender play games on screen, not having any idea that it's, you know, real, and then finding out it's real, I don't think that is quite as powerful as knowing that he doesn't know, and watching him lose ship after ship, knowing that there are real people on board, but he doesn't know that. And I think that's way more powerful than just, oh, but, you know, it was all real. And what the movie is.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
Because it's not...
if you're watching it and you know right then, all you can think of is, oh, my God, and he has no idea.
That's heartbreaking, right?
Yeah, and you're
just finding out, it would be... Yeah.
I just feel like every time he sends a ship in and it gets destroyed, it just builds and builds and builds. Or it would build, you know. I mean,
but you're going to see that on Grass and Mazer's face.
Yeah.
Because in the book, you know, those are people Mazer, well, some of them he knows.
Yeah.
He's, like, fought alongside.
Yeah.
And you'll be watching, you know, them. You would have to miss out on all of that if the audience didn't know. You'd be like, why is Mazer having a nervous breakdown? You know? Like,
yeah.
You wouldn't have any idea.
And I mean, this is kind of veering off topic, but I mean, I was thinking about this like a couple of weeks ago. So the people that went on this mission, they knew that it was a one way trip. That by the time they got back, everybody would be dead. That they knew. So do you think that they developed their own society on these ships, or were they just sleeping the whole time? Or I don't know. I mean,
that's a hard question. I mean, I guess.
Like, did they have kids? Did they have, like, were their children
well,
on
for
board?
For them, the time must have been much shorter, right?
Yeah, it was actually probably just a few years, right?
Right. So that's hard to say. Like, in the later books, you find out that it's an option just to, you know, have a nap.
Yeah.
Wake up. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll never know.
or maybe you will in the movie. Maybe they'll give you some insight. <Maybe. laughs>
All right, so a couple of, or not a couple, since kind of a lot of stuff has happened this week. It's funny how, like, you can think that nothing's going to happen. It's going to be a dull period, and then all these things come out. But we saw new images. In the Entertainment Weekly's Fall Movie Preview, we see a new picture of Graf, Mazer, and Ender. And Graf looks really angry, right?
A really funny
picture. He looks pissed.
It's so weird, the pictures that they choose sometimes to just, like, casually put in Entertainment Weekly. Like, what are these photos? Like, the one is obviously to something happening a bit before that other photo we saw, that big one of Ender, like, kind of horizontal in Milji to like graph. In the second one, Harrison Ford just looks totally pissed off. Like he is about, he's just had enough.
Mazer's just standing there kind of like awkwardly, like, oh boy, he's in deep, you know?
It's just a weird photo. I don't have any idea what that could be.
Yeah, I think, I don't know this for sure, but I heard from an inside source that the reason he looks so angry right there is that Carrie Fisher actually came out and called him a scruffy-looking nerd for right there.
She's living on Eros, eh?
I don't know.
Sorry.
It's like some weirdest scene from the film. But Ender probably screwed something up. Way to go, Ender. I have no idea. I've got even like no guesses.
Maybe it's after he says, if you succeed, you'll be remembered as a hero. He's like, I don't want to be a hero.
It's just so weird.
Okay, so I just have to say that I am so over that line. I mean, they put that thing in every video. I'm, like, so over that if you succeed line.
You will be remembered, yeah.
There's another one, too, right?
Remember what? Another line?
We must never let... That must never happen again. They really overuse that one too. Okay, so something else that came out was that we got a first look at the Ender's Game board game that Cryptozoic is developing.
Yeah,
and it's 2-player. And I noticed somebody on Reddit made a comment saying, "How fun is this game going to be? Shouldn't Ender always win?"
You know, what's really weird about this game is that I was a nanny in Germany, and that board looks so familiar to me. Like, I have played that game before.
Really? Huh.
And I'm not saying it's the same game, but it was the exact same shape, the exact same layout, and I just can't remember what it was. And I'm wondering if it's going to be something very similar to that.
Is it Catan? I mean, because the shape of the board pieces, I mean...
Say it again?
Catan? Settlers of Catan? Is that...
No, it's not that. It's not even the board pieces. It's the board layout with those... I wish I could think of it.
The pentagon or whatever shape?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that it's 2-player. I was kind of hoping for...
2-4?
Yeah, something a little...
I kind of thought it would be 2-4. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who I'm going to play that game with. I'm trying to think of who I know that would play this with me, and I'm coming up empty. Like, I have no Ender's Game loving friends, like, in person anymore. So.
I'm planning on playing the Hive Queen, personally.
We haven't seen Moises Arias at all, like, period. He has not been used to promote this movie. Which is really weird to me. I was talking with Ramis about it the other day. He's a fairly well-known guy from stuff that he's been doing, especially with things coming out. The Kings of Summer was fairly successful and very well reviewed. And he's not nothing. We've got nothing from him. And I think his character in the film is kind of being they don't want to give anything away. They want that to be a complete surprise, like how they're dealing with so and so. But it's weird to me, because that's like the first thing I've seen of Bonzo ever in his...
Well, I mean, he was in the bathroom picture.
Yeah, but that was like so, on the Sentinel.
Yeah.
It was talked about. It was like strangely lit, weird, photoshopped image that... I don't know.
I was actually really surprised that he didn't come to Comic-Con, because it seemed like everybody else... everybody else came to Comic-Con, but he wasn't there, so yeah.
There must be something going on there that I don't understand, because it just seems very strange to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's like a whole different group of fans, really.
Yeah.
Like the Disney crowd.
Yeah. He's a Disney kid, right? So.
Right.
There's a lot of people who are his fans. I don't know.
Who knows? So there's some other you had an article about Funko and these little top vinyl figures. So, I'm really disappointed there's no image of that yet.
Yeah. Adam, do you know what the Funko Pop vinyl figures are?
No, I don't. Enlighten me.
Have you ever... They released some for Game of Thrones. It's those... they almost look like bobbleheads, and they have really big eyes. And
I think I have a general idea.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I didn't recognize it by name, so I had to Google it. And I was like, oh, it's those. Because I remember the Tyrion Lannister one. So, yeah, And there's no image, but it looks like they're gonna come out with some, and so far it's only Ender and Petra, so I don't know.
Not sure how I feel about that. I just don't know. I don't really like those things. They creep me out.
Yeah, they're
kind of
creepy looking.
I don't know what to do with that.
In a strange,
will I buy them?
Strange,
yes.
Cute way.
What will I do with them?
Just put them in your office or something. I can put them on my desk, and people can come in and be like, "What is that?"
For real. I think I'll have to see them first if I get a good look at them. If they have like their little flash suits on, that could be kind of funny.
Do they just stand there, or do their heads move, or do they talk?
A bobblehead would at least be funny. If I could like bop Ender on the head, have him nod at me. I don't know.
Anything else that you want to talk about, Adam?
Well, here's a question I'd have for you. Which dragon army would you take? Ender leading, Dean and his crew, or Daenerys Targaryen and her dragon?
I guess it depends. I'm very curious what Daenerys and her dragons would do in low gravity, like how well they fare.
I feel like Ender would outsmart them. Somehow. Like, you find some way.
But then I also think that dragon army would be pretty useless on the ground. Like, I don't think they would know how to deal with it. But I don't know. Ender goes on to prove himself. I don't know. Crystal, who would you pick? That's hard. Because, you know, dragons breathe fire, they fly. What are we doing?
I feel like fire breathing trumps flash gun any day.
Flash gun, yeah.
I don't mean to be disloyal to Ender, but if dragons can bring down Harrenhal, well, I would think that they can bring down a bunch of kids.
No.
Well, I'll say this, though. I don't think that the dragons would beat the buggers, if that means anything. So, and Ender beat the buggers. So I'm just throwing that out there. And maybe if they have the doctor device or whatnot.
I think it's all about the scenario.
Yeah.
And the location.
I agree. Because that could wipe out Essos in no time or Westeros. No. It's really interesting. I have one other question for both of you, since it's the Hunger Games show. Do you think if Ender were put into a Hunger Games, would he win?
Yeah. I totally do.
Yeah. I mean, because the thing with Ender
is... smart enough.
Ender's smart enough, and the thing is that he doesn't like to kill, but it doesn't change the fact that he's actually really good at it. You know, he doesn't enjoy it, but he's good at it, and he can do it, so... Yeah.
Right, and he showed on multiple occasions. I could see a situation where, someone like Kato would come up to him, and he would actually defeat him somehow. Just like he beat Bonzo in the shower. He finds some creative way to do that. And I also think, especially with the training, he would have done exactly what he needed to do to make the right allies leading up to the games and immediately know who he should team up with, who he shouldn't, and run. It'd actually be a fascinating... I wish someone would write a fanfic. I think it would be a really amazing story to see how he would win.
In the same vein, would Katniss have been useful at all in battle school?
I think she could have been useful maybe as moral support and like a tough character, for maybe kids who are having a hard time there. But I don't think she has, not to insult her, but I don't think she quite has the intellect. These are all geniuses, let's not forget. So I don't necessarily see her... doing that stuff. Plus, she's not really great at winning people over.
Yeah.
She's more... I guess she is in a way, but not when you're dealing with these kinds of kids where you need to proactively do it and not just become the mockingjay.
But, I can kind of see her as being kind of like Petra, because Petra is kind of isolated, on purpose, but, when Ender first meets her, she's kind of a loner. She's sleeping in the front because Bonzo makes her sleep there, and I don't know, she's kind of a rough kind of girl, right?
She isn't really charming, is she?
No.
She has kind of a social life.
Yeah.
Like,
she's kind of harsh, yeah.
Making friends isn't her strong suit, yeah. I guess. Little Petra.
I just wonder if maybe she would be a really good protector and supporter of Ender. I mean, if she decided that Ender was so important, she's so self-sacrificing that maybe she would have done things to help him. But at the same time, I wonder if that would have made him ill-prepared to do what he needed to do later, because he had to have that isolation. So it's interesting. Can I throw one more question your way about the movie?
Sure, sure.
That maybe you know? This is obviously a very unimportant detail, but they mentioned how Colonel Graf, as he's stressed, that he eats, and then he kind of loses weight at the end. Do you think that Harrison Ford is going to have more of a gut as the movie goes on, or do you think they'll just leave that out?
No, I think they're just leaving it.
The thing is with the movie is that it takes place over a much shorter period of time,
like a year and a half,
2 years at the top, you know, it's the most. And in the book, you know, it's several years under kind of growing up. So I think it's very hard to show that someone puts on like a beer belly within a period of a year without making it a little crazy. And like, it was just
cramming like Twinkies into his mouth. It's like, wow, why do you get so fat? He's eating all the space ice cream.
I remember when the first pictures came out, Crystal and I were so annoyed because people were like, why isn't Kraft fat? He should be fat. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
my
people were like, don't they have fat suits for Harrison Ford?
I know.
did any of you watch Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah, I did.
Do you remember when Leah Dama got fat for like 3 episodes?
I'm pretty sure it's in Harrison Ford's contract that he doesn't have to wear a fat suit.
Okay, so I got to meet Edward James Olmos. I don't know if I told you this, Adam, but I paid to take a picture with him at Comic-Con.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I only got to meet him for like, I don't know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, I don't know. But basically, I paid for it in advance. I showed up. They ushered me into a booth, and there he was, you know, and he just crushes me in this hug against his huge belly. And he just smashed me, and he's like, okay, smile and pretend you like me. And I was like, of course I like you. But yeah, that was a pretty cool experience, even though it was very brief, to meet Admiral Adama.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I would have loved that.
All right, so that kind of wraps it up. We're going to move on to our pop quiz. Do you want to hang around, Adam? Or
is there something I can contribute to the quiz, or do you think it would be
whatever? It's just up to you if you want
to.
Yeah, if you want to, so you can see how you measure.
I'll hang on the line. Sure.
All right. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Fernanda.
Hello.
Hey.
Can you say your name for me really quickly?
I'm Fernanda.
Fernanda, it's just Fernanda. Okay. We were just talking about you. And
in a good way.
I have a question. You are like the fastest Twitterer, is that a word? A Twitterer that I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, you are how I know that my tweets are like actually reaching people, because in seconds you retweet my stuff, and I think that's so crazy.
I
like
know.
It's awesome. But I'm like, wow, she's online, so.
Yeah, and sometimes if you don't do it right away, I'm like, oh my god, did it go out?
I know, I just tweeted into the void. Fernanda didn't retweet my tweet, so I don't know what to do.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and about your fanship. Is fanship a word?
I knew that my favorite actor, Asa Butterfield, was going to be on the movie, so I decided to investigate about the movie and about the book and all that. And then I started to get a bit interested on the book, and I told my parents if we could go and buy it, but I had to buy it by internet because it's not sold here yet. And it arrived. I was super happy, and I read it. And I really love the story, and well, that's how I started my fandom with Ender's Game.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, are you ready to take our quiz?
Yes.
Okay, now, Crystal said that these questions were kind of hard, and they might be. So if they are super hard, I apologize in advance. Okay?
Okay, are you ready? You know how it goes, right? We're going to ask you 5 questions of increasing difficulty, and if you can get at least 3, then you will be considered a commander.
Okay, yay. But if you become a fart eater, you should not feel bad. Because I don't know if you listened to last week's episode, but Aramis Knight and Kylan Rambo came on the show, and it's the funniest. They can hardly answer anything. So you will be with them in the fart eater category. So
I was listening to you guys last week, and when they did the test, I was like, oh my God, really?
I almost had to turn it off and go laugh in another room. They're just so funny.
Yeah, I think it's the two of them together. They have really good chemistry together.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we also have our guest, Adam, from Hunger Games Fireside Chat on the line. He's not going to be competing against you, but he's just going to be listening to see how he measures up with the questions on his own. So.
Oh, okay.
Adam, you haven't listened to any of our quizzes before, so you can see whether you would be a good contestant maybe for the future.
if I can get to the games, I've been spending a lot of time at this Giants drink question, trying to figure out how to win that. Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, question number 1. What is Dink's last name?
Meeker.
Yay!
That's right. You are already on a roll. So, Crystal?
All right, question 2. In what year was Ender's Game first published in novel format? So the book, not the short story.
1985.
Woohoo!
See, Crystal, they're not so hard after all. That's how it goes. All right, question number 3. Petra is made commander of which army?
Of Phoenix Army.
Very good.
You're so good. You're already winning. Like,
yeah.
Wait, which was that? What was the answer to that?
Phoenix.
Phoenix, that's right. I forgot about that. You had me something.
All right, question 4. Who does Dap message to warn of Bonso's plot against Ender?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Who does Dap message to warn of Bonso's plot against Ender?
Petra.
No, that would be General Pace.
See,
that was hard.
That's a hard one, yeah, because most people don't know General Pace, and it's only, like, briefly mentioned.
It's at the beginning of the chapter, so.
I think in Ender's Shadow, you learn a little bit about it, but not.
Oh, really? Yeah, you know, I had just been looking at a part of the book, and I saw General Pace, and I was like, who's General Pace? So I don't think I would have gotten this question myself.
Okay, this is the last question.
Okay.
What is the name of the boy Ender is with when he finds the message the Hive Queen left for him?
Abra.
Wow.
She knows that.
Very good.
We have to send this to Kylan and Aramis and be like that. Get together.
Wow, I would have gotten 2 out of 5, which I'm kind of embarrassed about.
Hey.
All right, so Fernanda is 4 out of 5 questions. That's very
For
good.
Real. Yeah.
Yeah. So whenever I get around to updating
her,
whenever I get around to updating the scoreboard, you will be right up there.
Yeah.
All right.
We have to update that.
Yeah, I do. Hopefully soon. But so we want to thank both of you for coming onto our show today. We had a lot of fun talking to you, Adam, and we want to thank you for coming on for our quiz, Fernanda. I hope you're happy with how well you did.
I'm so glad you came on, and it's nice to get to talk to you, because you're like my favorite Twitter person ever. For real.
And thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun for me. I really enjoyed this.
We just want to mention really quick that Harrison Ford was recently on Jimmy Kimmel. He was kind of funny. I mean, I watched the videos, and he's just like his funny, grumpy old man kind of self. So make sure you guys look for those. And then Viola Davis celebrated her birthday last week, so we want to wish her a happy birthday. And today we are officially 77 days away from November 1st.
November, which you still haven't made happen.
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying, you know, I tweeted once in a while, so.
Yeah.
Adam, I don't know if you know, but a while back, somebody on Twitter coined the term Novender instead of November. So, yeah, the cast really digs that term too, so we're trying to push that term, and hopefully maybe the official Ender's Game Twitter will adopt it as well.
Yeah, we need to make more effort, I think.
I know.
The boys need to make more effort, because they made a lot of promises about that and didn't really
really say anything. All right.
Wow, no, that's great. I'll have to remember the 1st of November.
That's even funnier. We should go with that.
Yeah. Okay, so we want to thank all our listeners for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, you can catch all our past episodes on our website, www.endercast.com, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at EG Endercast. And remember, shoot straight.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.